Venture through a wasteland twisted by dark magic, undead monsters, and contagious insanity where life and death are no longer opposites, but a spectrum of cruelties. Emerging from the dregs, an old king makes one final attempt to save his realm. Today's episode is brought to you by the newest project of Lee Ellis, author of the Killdash series, Godblood. Is a grim, dark short story with the audio runtime of 2 hours available on Audible and a digital print available for those that prefer reading. This exciting adventure is available now. But parents beware, it's not for the faint of heart. Stay tuned after the episode for an exclusive audio clip of Godblood. Welcome to the Nerdy Old Men Podcast. The greatest nerd, geek, and pop culture podcast in history. With your host, Redneck Wes.
He keeps screwing up, people. God.
And that old bald man, Chad.
Come on, man. This is a fun place. Don't be a...
Hey, all you awesome nerds.
Look, Wes is actually in the house.
Yes, I am back live and in person here on this pre-recorded episode.
Yes. Is it? It's pre-recorded for everybody else, but it's happening right now for us.
So it's a live pre-recorded episode.
Live
or a pre-recorded live episode. I don't know.
Hey, you know, it's a kind of exciting time in nerddom. Star Wars Celebration is happening over in London.
London, England.
Yeah, our friend Cortland is there.
Holy!
Did you remember that Cortland was going there?
I actually forgotten about that.
I sent him a message this morning. He saw it, but I'm sure he's having a blast. I'm like,
he ain't got time to deal with you.
I'm like, dude, you got to go by the AMG booth where the Star Wars Legion stuff is. They got this special edition model, and it has Luke, Vader, and Palpatine in it. And it's the scene in
the throne room scene.
Yes. And I was like, dude, if you can get one, I will Venmo you the money right now. And he's been posting some pictures, so I guarantee he's having a good time. We're going to try to get him. I'm sure he'll do it, but get him on the show and get him to tell us all about traveling to the UK for Star Wars Celebration. I think
it's nuts how big that's gotten.
I think it's going to be so cool. It's not happening next year, but the next year apparently it's going to be back in the U.S. Man, I'd love to go to that. I think that would be so stupid.
With your pink lightsaber?
It's not pink, but I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it. But it's exciting, and the Ahsoka trailer came out. I guess it was this morning, and you and I just watched.
Yeah, we just watched that.
Yeah, it's what do you think about it?
The fact that Favreau and Filoni, I'm really enjoying what they're doing.
Don't give anything away on
I'm
it.
I'm not going to no spoilers.
None of that.
No spoilers, but if you've read the books. If you've watched the shows, there's all kinds of, I hate to call it fan service because it's part of the story, but.
Well, it's positive stuff because they could, like, reinvent the wheel or make new characters for the sake of making new characters. And in the trailer, there is a couple folks there that I have no idea who they are, but. It's interesting. Color orange is what we'll say, and that's a little odd. Or at least it looks orange to me.
But I had to explain lightsaber colors to Chad earlier.
So, but, I mean, there's what, including Ahsoka, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, I think, characters from Rebels that show up in this trailer.
Yes.
You only see the back of one of them, but no joke. And I'm super stoked about it, so...
If you haven't
watched that trailer, just pause this episode right now and go and watch that freaking trailer on YouTube and then come back and listen to the rest because I really think it's going to be good and I'm excited about it. So,
well, there's a lot going on in Star Wars. I mean, I know it's almost got to the point we have the obligatory Mando segment now.
Well, what did you think about that last episode?
Jack Black was a little too Jack Black.
Jack Black can't be anybody but Jack Black.
No. I will argue this point.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
We got what I would like to have seen with his character.
Yeah.
And do we need to give the spoiler alert just in case?
Probably. A little bit. So if you have not seen the newest episode of The Mandalorian with Jack Black, you might not want to hear this unless you want There's
okay.
not that much.
Oh, okay, his character was a little too Jack Black, and I will explain this. You know, Jack Black has a very specific personality,
mm-hmm.
and it usually every role he has is that. Black,
yeah.
He did. It was one of the King Kong. It was like, was it Kong?
I don't know.
It was one of the King Kong remakes. Right. But he's like the movie producer that's making the film, you know, when they go to the island. And he's not Jack Black in that movie. He's a little more serious, a little mm-hmm. bit darker. I think if they had played him that way, because he was supposed to be Imperial. Or, right. you know, one of the redeemed Imperials.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have come across better. He came across as Jack Black from Tropic Thunder to me. What's her name? Lizzo?
Lizzo, yeah.
I had no idea who she was. Everybody was kind of making a big deal about it.
And well, when she popped up on screen, I didn't recognize her. But Abby did. I'd already go, that's Lizzo. And I was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I guess it is. She's wearing a lot more clothing than she normally does.
I'm like, I have no idea who she is. I had to look up the fact that she's a musician.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. She did okay. You can tell she's not really an actor. I'd like to know the backstory as to how those two ended up in those roles.
I think the whole thing for her was just they wanted to have her the interaction that her and Grogu had.
Which was good. Which I thought it was pretty cool. I really did.
I mean, I want to see the baby.
Well, you got to remember, Grogu's still a kid.
Well, I know, but it was like, she goes, I want to see the baby. And he's just like, oh, okay.
Well, she was feeding him fish.
Well, I know.
He's like, yeah, I'll eat that. You know, and, but you know what? I mean, I've seen a lot of ranting and raving and gatekeeping about that sort of thing. Why in the world did you got a comedian and a pop star? And like, you know what? Did it suck? No, it didn't suck. It shows variations in the story. Not everybody in Star Wars is a freaking Jedi or a damn Sith.
Yeah.
It's not, there are folks like this guy was an engineer for the Empire. Do you think he carried a gun? No. He sat at a freaking desk like the engineers that I work with, and they come up with ideas and how to fix things and use their brains and all that kind of stuff, right? Academia things. That's what this guy did.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be freaking, he's not going to have the attitude of Tarkin.
I know, but I mean, he was just, like I said, it was just a little too much Jack Black.
It was a little, if I had a criticism about it.
He was a little over the top.
Lizzo's performance, I didn't have an issue with it.
I mean, I could tell she wasn't, I don't want to say she wasn't good, but you know, you could tell that.
Well, Bryce Howard did a good job with her.
Bryce Howard does an amazing job directing.
Gave her a limited enough set of lines to where it wouldn't really display that she's very new at acting, that it's not her thing, but it still fed the story.
Yeah.
And I think that that's cool.
I do feel that Christopher Lloyd was wasted a little bit.
Yeah, I thought he played a pretty good part, though.
Well, it's a crazy old guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's always a crazy old guy.
I'll push the button.
You know, and a lot of people gave the analogy that it was sort of like a Scooby-Doo episode. And it was kind of like a Scooby-Doo episode. But I liked it. And it was more of a lighthearted kind of episode. But one of the things I liked the most about it is getting to see B1 and B2 battle droids and how they had been repurposed. After
as loaders,
way after the Clone Wars,
yeah.
You know, the Clone Wars have ended, the Galactic Civil War has ended, and they still fixed up these old battle droids and used them for a different purpose. Because think about it, how many freaking battle droids are across the galaxy? There's tons, you know, because of the CIS had a bunch. They didn't all just blow up.
Yeah, I mean,
so what are they used for? And I think that's one thing that's neat in Mando. We've seen B1s. I think we've seen B1s in Mando other than that's the Roger ones. This is the first time I think we've seen B2s other than that's the ones whose heads down in their neck.
Yeah.
Right? Other than when they did the flashback, and that's why Dan hates the freaking battle droids. But I thought it was lighthearted up to a point.
It was. What was funny, though, is they tried to make it I almost want to say like a buddy cop.
But I thought that was kind of good, though.
Between Bo and Mando. Because she's, what was it?
She's good cop, and he's bad cop.
But it was, it, gosh,
which is
it was,
odd.
But. It was so funny because, like, and this was something I had never thought of, but droid bars.
Yeah.
I was like,
at first, when they first said that, I was like, oh man, I think that's going to suck. But they brought it together and it kind of made sense.
Well, the fact that they were using the, I can't remember the name of the lubricant that they were using as a drink, but they were putting nanos in it that had data packets that would update programs. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'd never thought about that as a means to, you know, you've got this huge droid. I hate to say droid population.
But there are.
But, I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Especially with those former battle droids. There's tons.
But you never would have thought of them. I mean, because, like, 3PO had a personality. But mm-hmm. most people would wipe droids' memories when they started getting, like, quirky and developing a personality.
Because they would. I mean, they're high-tech devices.
Well, over time, you know, they would. But Luke never did that to R2 and 3PO because he liked them that way.
Right, yep.
And they became their own characters,
yes.
Which was what George's intentions were with them when he created them. But, because, I mean, they even made mention at the end of episode 3 when they're leaving and he says, you know, get the R2 unit to do this. And he said, take the protocol droid and have his memory banks wiped. And 3PO kind of shoots that look at the screen.
Yeah.
You know, because he knew all this stuff.
Right.
And he says, eh. So I had never thought about it, though.
It was interesting.
Like, you know, like a droid society where they've got dreams and aspirations. Because, you know, he says, you know.
And they wanted to serve.
He's like, well, the humans are only here for a short time, so we need to make it better for them.
Right.
Was the way he phrased it.
Yeah. Organics.
Or organics, yes.
Yeah, they were all human.
And, but I had never thought about that. But I really thought that was an ingenious way to kind of bring in like the cantina scene from episode 4.
Well, it shows a variation, and I think some people have issues with the way the show has gone and Star Wars in general is they don't realize that they're building a bigger world than what we are accustomed to in the films. It's not just the collection of rebels versus an all
with
human
with the films
empire.
you had. A very limited amount of time.
Yeah.
So you couldn't go into all the minutia and all the little side quests and everything. You know, you kind of had to get in. This is the main point. We got to get from here to here to here.
Right, yep.
With this, you can meander. And honestly, and this was something I picked up on the very first scene of Mandalorian. It's a Western. Mm-hmm. It's an episodic Western drama.
Yep.
And it's going to be a slow burn at times. Because, like, you know, the episode with the doctor, you know, and you're getting all this, you know, it's like, why do we care about, you know, reforming?
Because it makes sense.
You know,
just
Imperial officers. It's like, what's the point in this? And, like, you know, this is world building. And you have to have some episodes like that where it isn't action. Go, 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 go.
Yeah.
But hats off to Bryce. She's
I
think she's done an amazing job directing. Her episodes have been some of the best ones.
I think so.
I think she's done a really good job. Like you said, you know, she kind of knew Lizzo was going to be.
I mean, that's my take from watching it.
So she kind of maximized her, I believe.
Yep.
Now that Grogu is a knight of.
Which is funny, Sir Grogu, you know.
Well, I'm wondering if that's going to come back to play at some point, you know, when they get in a pinch or something.
Yep.
It's like he's, you know, Sir Grogu, knight of blah, blah, blah.
And I think that's funny.
You know, like Grogu, like just, woo.
Yeah.
And that gets him out of like a really sticky situation. Yeah. So.
Well, what I think is neat about that episode is the way it went from that kind of weird, quirky beginning sort of thing. To this, you know, foot chase kind of cop thing, which I thought was pretty cool.
We even talked about droid abuse.
Yeah.
So then Din Djarin just over kicking droids.
Yeah, he's kicking the crap out of him because he hates them. But that shows something, though. That shows some, I mean, that's a lot of deep-seated hate and post-traumatic stress from the Clone Wars when he was a child.
Well, you know, it's like, she goes, we're going to do this my way.
And he doesn't do it.
You know, and he lasts for like, you know, 10 seconds, and then he starts kicking these B2s. Droids.
Yeah.
But it was the whole, because, you know, he, like when they walk into the droid bar, you know, and the one blue protocol droid starts, he's like, nobody leaves.
Yep.
And everybody's just like, oh, crap, you know.
Was it one?
I was waiting on like the scene with Danny DeVito. So anyways, I pulled out and started blasting away. Yeah, yeah.
But you know, at the end of that episode, when they, when Bo-Katan fights Wolf something, you know,
yeah,
and he finally yields. So technically, she's the leader of them, even though they didn't want to. But I like the explanation because I was wondering how she, because she needs the Darksaber back.
Well, that's a symbol,
and she's a leader, and by royal right, probably she is the leader, and the fact that by proxy she beat Den.
Well, I mean,
she got it back, which is good.
Well, you figure that, you know, he beat, what was it? I'm trying to remember how it all went down.
Well, we don't know how she had it, and then Moff Gideon got it from her. So we have not seen how that happened, and then Den beat Moff.
And he got it that way, and she respected that.
Right. And then
Ham tried to get it, and he couldn't get it.
Right. And then,
always going to be Ham to me.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Heavy armored Mando.
Yeah, yeah. Vizsla. Pre-Vizsla, right? Anyway, Vizsla. But then he got, you know, then gets captured.
He gets beat
up and gets captured. And then I guess by default, since she
defeated the one that defeated him in battle,
she gets it.
And he's like, you know, I'm returning it to its rightful owner because he was just kind of carrying it.
Yeah. And then they fall in line.
Well, everybody's just like, okay.
So now we see this.
Because, you know, he asks, he goes, is this not how it's supposed to be?
Yep, this is the way.
And everybody's like, I'll be dang, you got us on that.
So it'd be interesting to see if she commands all of them to go back where the Covenant's at.
Where the Covenant's at?
Yeah. And then you got a bunch.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of Mandalorians.
A bunch of Mandalorians.
And I mean, and they're welcomed. It ain't like, it's like, oh crap, nope. You know. It's,
No,
this is yours, y'all.
Yeah, we're going to see some hellacious fight, I think, coming on. Is this the last episode of the season coming up?
Are they doing 10?
I don't know.
Because this was episode 9, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not so sure. I would say that this will probably, there'll probably be one more episode,
yeah.
if I'm guessing.
Well, that's our Mandalorian update for the...
We're going to have a Star Wars segment
on the
show.
Have you got to see...
Before we get into that, I did see this. I haven't gotten a chance to completely confirm it yet, mm-hmm. but I saw IGN had an article. Apparently, they're talking about doing another either film or show with Rey after events.
I saw that pop up. It's a movie.
Is it a movie?
It's supposed to be a film on how she's trying to reconstruct the Jedi Order.
Wow, that's an original idea. I'm glad one's ever thought to write that down.
I know. But it's obviously going to occur, right? And they always try to bring it back when it's got all of its faults, too. You know, but anyway, yeah, apparently that happened at Star Wars Celebration as well. Because I saw a little clip about that.
It was one of those things I didn't get a chance to, you know.
Cause I mean, I didn't see the whole thing. I was
hurrying, trying to get down here.
What about Dungeons & Dragons? I've not seen it yet.
I'm on vacation
Scott,
this week.
Scotty Too Hottie.
What did Scotty got to say about this?
He said it was pretty good. Yeah, he said he didn't. He liked that he didn't hate it. He said it is what he thought it would be, but it was good.
It was better than
he
expected.
He said it was good. It is a good in the right direction for D&D. He said.
So they rolled like a solid 14.
Yeah, it was good enough. He said that the monsters are very good. They do the things that they're supposed to do. It's obviously made by people that know what they're talking about. He said that the kids. I point to the action figures over here, but
everybody can see you pointing around.
Yeah, the kids from the cartoon, or they have a cameo in it, right? Said, but their outfits and all their stuff is a lot brighter than everybody else's, which to me is cool and makes sense, right?
Well, yeah.
Because they were an animated thing.
They were a cartoon, yeah.
And they want the viewer to go, those folks look different. Why do they look different?
Well, that's for the normies that that have no, the guys like us are going, whoa!
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's really cool. And I've heard some good things about it.
I just want the D20 popcorn bucket. is what I want.
I think you'll have to buy that aftermarket.
I may have to, and I'm willing to do that.
You just fill full of dice.
I just wanted.
There's a red dragon head too for some other.
What?
Yeah, I've seen that.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's at other theaters. Caremark, I think.
Cinemark.
Hell, I have no idea. But anyway, I don't think Regal has any of those. So you may have to ask around or look around or something. There is an AMC out in East Knoxville.
Well, I was about to say.
But I don't know. I have no idea. I'm wanting to go see it. My son wants to see the Super Mario movie, too, which I also heard was pretty dang good.
I've heard that was fun. And they said Jack Black was is hilarious awesome.
He says he's great as Bowser. So it might be really cool. So. But I am looking forward to that. I've also heard Scuttle that they're going to do another D&D feature film and that they're looking like either a film or a TV show that might involve Drizzt.
I've heard TV show, but I do not know.
I would rather it be a TV show because they could do it right in a television, an episodic television series.
I was fixing to say, if you...
You rush it too much in a 2 or 3 hour film. Do it in an episodic, and let's see his life. I'm talking about start with a Dark Elf trilogy.
Oh, gosh.
Which I don't know if it would go over that well. I think maybe you have to start with Icewind Dale.
I would say Icewind Dale.
And then maybe do flashbacks, you know?
Because you're going to have a lot, you know.
But if you did Icewind Dale, then you get to see more than just Drow and Denizens of the Underdark. You get to see everything else.
Yeah. I think you have to go Icewind Dale.
Yeah. And then do flashbacks. You could do flashbacks, and I think that'd be all right.
I know we don't get political on the show, but I think with the political climate, mm-hmm. that, because as much scuttle has been in the last few years, D&D races, I think people would just lose their mind over Drow.
Oh.
The way they're portrayed. If you do them the way that they're written.
Yeah, that's a messed up culture.
It is really.
And they are very racist against everybody else, yeah.
And so I think that would be a problematic way to start if you started.
Yeah, I think you do. I think a series, and start with Icewind Dale
and do the flashbacks
and do the flashbacks to the Dark Elf trilogy. I think that's a cool idea.
I'm sorry,
I didn't quite catch that. Could you please say that again?
No, I don't think I would like to, and I don't even have Siri activated on my phone, so that was weird. Okay.
Anyway, carry
on. That was odd. I thought it was you.
Nope.
Anyway,
that wasn't
me. That point is, as I. It's they've become self-aware. Excuse me for a
while.
Wes laughs, I laugh, dun, my iPhone dun, dun, laughs.
Wes shoots the iPhone. Decepticons. <Yeah.
laughs> It'd be my freaking luck. But anyway, no.
Anyways, where were we at?
Yeah, Drizzt. I would love to see that. I think that'd be cool. I've also heard some scuttle about, scuttle is my buzzword today apparently, is about Joe Manganiello working on a Dragonlance project,
yes.
Whether that be a series or a movie. I'm
what
not
I
sure.
have heard is that they're looking at, you know, something along the lines of a series.
If you let that man go with it,
I think he could do a good job with it.
I mean, you're talking about somebody in Hollywood that loves all things D&D. It's that guy, and let him go with it. Just let him freaking roll with it and see what happens. I think it'd be good. So we'll see. That's an interesting thing.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things going on right now that the nerd world is such a hot commodity right now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they didn't realize how much money we had to spend on stuff.
Well, and getting to see things. Same thing with Star Wars. Lots of Star Wars films. Same thing with D&D stuff. You got movie now.
This is at least the third Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Right, but...
Because I have...
The other ones are okay.
Well, the Courtney Solomon one, they tried.
Yeah, they did.
I mean,
did,
it was fun if you take it...
For what it was, yeah.
The direct home video one...
Yeah.
I mean, it had a better story-wise, but the CG, you know, they just didn't have the money.
Well, I just remember.
But they were actually on set with the third edition Player's Handbook.
Yeah, like, which is cool.
Like, was reading, like, yeah. Okay, well, this is what a barbarian would do. You know,
which is cool, right?
Yeah.
And try to keep it true to the thing.
Well, I mean, Henry Cavill left the Witcher because they were not getting too far away from the books.
Yep.
And he's like, nope.
Which is commendable, right? That's commendable.
I really respect the fact that, you know, I know, because you like to give me grief about, I don't like nothing. But it's like when you start, you know, doing stuff and you're like, no, character wouldn't do that, or they, you know, wouldn't think that way.
Yeah, it's if it's extreme, I would.
Well, I mean, Mark Hamill even said, like, you know, with Luke, you know, he got into it with him, and he's like,
God, the whole hermit Luke thing.
He's like, Luke, he said, yeah, he might take some time off to regroup and come up with a new plan, but he wouldn't just give up.
No.
And they're like, no, this, you give up. And he's
stupid.
So, you know, I understand that there has to be creative liberties taken to do your version of whatever. But when you start just like going way off into left field.
Yeah, just hatchet man.
And you're just, no. So you hope that the people doing it, and I always say this, you don't have to be a fan to do it good, but there's something about when you are a fan of the material.
Yeah.
I just think it's better.
Well, you know, like when we were young and I mean, well, I guess just now you're starting to be able to have visual, you know, food.
Well, you always like to say the theater of the mind. Yeah, but
what I'm saying is for D&D and stuff, like there are those two older films. You've got a new film coming out, or that's out right now, right? When we were a kid, if we wanted any kind of that fantasy fix thing, you had to watch Conan, right? Or the D&D cartoon when it was out. Lotus Wars.
Record of the Lost Wars. If you have not seen that anime, that was one I wanted to bring up when we were talking anime stuff. Yeah. That is amazing.
But that was like the closest thing to a D&D cartoon that we had, really, other than the original D&D.
Well, now, they did do a Dragonlance one.
That's true.
An animated movie that...
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
I think Kiefer Sutherland was Rose Raceland.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
It was...
But, you know, I guess that this episode has evolved into what, you know, what we want from nerd films, you know, that.
Well, I mean.
Because that's.
When you've waited your entire life.
Yeah.
You know, it was like when they, you know, because having read The Lord of the Rings and then they start talking, hey, we're going to make a Lord of the Rings movie. And you're like, oh, God, please do this right.
Did you like it?
What, the movies?
Yes.
I did. They changed some stuff. Mm-hmm.
I remember we all went and watched one of them. I can't remember which one it was.
We went and watched Fellowship.
And we were on the front row?
Well...
There was one that we ended up having to go watch on the front row.
That was U571, the World War II submarine.
No, we watched a Lord of the Rings one in the front row. And
that was Two Towers that we watched on the front row.
Because it was like...
You were sitting there straight up. I can't see anything.
Neck breaking going back and forth because the place was full.
But no, we... I remember sitting beside Jason, and we'd watched the Fellowship, and when, you know, Sam and Frodo are standing there looking off into Mordor, and they start down, and the movie ends, and people being like, that's the end?
Of the first book? Or of the first movie, I mean.
Me and Jason at the same time go, that's the way the book ends. And people were, like, losing their mind, because they're like, wait, what? We sat here for, like, 2.5-3 hours, and
it's a story that develops. It's like,
this is a long one, guys. Yeah. You don't understand. But I did like the fact that, you know, when Peter Jackson was pitching the movie, you know, he's like, there's no way they're going to let me make this three films. Because he originally wanted to do one film for each book. And he's like, if I can get two, because he was going to stop halfway through Two Towers, I think, somewhere.
Oh, and do two films.
And do two films. Yeah. And so he presented it that way. And the execs were like, oh, there's no way this is two films. And in his mind, he was like, oh, God, they're wanting to try to do this in one film. He goes, this is a three-film thing, Peter. And he's like
woo!
And then they do The Hobbit in two. And I was just like, God, there's so much. You know?
No, they do The Hobbit in three films.
Did they do The Hobbit in three?
Yes. Yes, because me and Abby love The Hobbit. It's about time for us to watch them again. It's an unexpected journey. The Dissolution of Smaug and...
The Battle of Five Armies.
I think that's the last one, yeah. Dissolution of Smaug is actually my favorite out of the three. It's pretty good. I like the Hobbit films a lot. I really do. It actually may be because me and my not-so-little girl anymore sat and watched them together.
Yeah.
And that may be why I love them so much, because it's something that we do. But I like them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I enjoyed reading The Hobbit, for some reason I didn't get into those films as much as I did.
Well, they're made several years later, so all of the special effects and things were better.
They changed some things because I'm like, what the crap is Legolas doing here? It's like, you're not in this book.
Hey, you got to help it out.
And I know, like, there was things that Gandalf said in the books that they had, like, Frodo say in the movie because, you know, Frodo's supposed to be the main character. You know, like when they going into the Mines of Moria and they're trying to figure out the riddle, and then Gandalf goes, oh, yeah, by the way, speaks friend, you know, when they have Frodo do that. So, there's times that you kind of have to let stuff like that slide. But overall, I've got to say they did a really good job with those films. I mean, Peter Jackson devoted a significant portion of his life to bringing them to life. All that. I mean, could you imagine? It's like, look, dude, we're just going to live here for the next
however many years,
10 years or whatever, until this comes to fruition.
Wow. Dedicated to it, and he did a fantastic job.
Well, they're
one really of them good. Won Best Picture, right? Yeah, Two Towers, maybe. I can't remember which one, but one of them won Best Picture.
I can't remember.
Which is unusual for a trilogy, especially a fantasy thing.
Well, that was like, I'll steal your word, the scuttle.
Yep.
When Star Wars didn't win anything, and everybody's like, this movie, you don't understand, this movie is going to be cultural.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave it to something else.
Whatever, yeah.
And,
Yeah.
There's times that people really don't understand what they've got.
Yep.
And I think that's like with the Marvel movies, like when they first came out, because it was so, you know, people really put, and now it kind of feels like they're just kind of throwing anything out there.
Yeah.
It's like, we need money, make another Marvel
did
movie.
You see did you see the trailer for Blue Beetle, DC?
Yeah.
It's the kid from
Cobra Kai. Yeah.
He's a good actor. He's really good in that show. I've lost it on DC. Well, I kind of lost it on Marvel, too. They're just,
Marvel's, I don't know what they're...
Just throwing crap, you know. And I think that I don't know. But the Blue Beetle movie looks pretty. I mean, it looks like...
It looked good.
It looks good. So, I don't know if it will be or not.
I like George Lopez. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
There's a line that's got the internet up in arms.
Of course.
And I'm like... Something.
There's always something.
I don't know.
So, that's coming out. I'm sure a bunch
I'm hoping that it's good. I'm hoping it's maybe just one of those things.
I know
that,
nothing about Blue Beetle.
Well, if I'm thinking right, Jaime Reyes is actually the third Blue Beetle.
Yeah, you got me there. I have no idea.
I think he finds the beetle after they kill Korg or something.
Let's see, something else, since we have morphed this into a movie thing, sort of. I saw some things where they're doing a sequel to Joker.
Yes.
And it has Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn.
Yes.
It might be pretty cool. What does that look for?
I
she's awesome. She's a great actress and an incredible singer.
Not my cup of tea, but whatever.
Yeah, well, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, take your report.
We'll see how she does in this. So I haven't seen the first one, to be honest with you.
I've seen parts of it. It just didn't.
Well, it's different.
Well, I don't know. It's just. It didn't. I guess for me, as a fan, was the whole fact that you didn't know who the Joker was, and even the world's greatest detective couldn't figure out who the Joker was.
Right.
And that was, I think, for me, the hook with him,
mm-hmm.
which I always liked him as the Stone Cold Killer, like the hitman.
Yeah.
That version of the Joker, where he's not zany. He's not, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, he's the laugh, you know, is you can just feel the evil through the laugh.
Right, right.
I liked that version. And I don't know, just the whole... I don't know. It didn't strike a chord with me.
Like I said, I haven't felt so compelled to watch it that I have, and it's been out years. You know, so
like I said, I've watched part of it, and I was just like, meh.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. One more thing, because I was looking at this wrestling stuff over here. WrestleMania was last weekend. I'm disappointed. I picked every match because I like to do that for these pay-per-views. I pick who I think is going to win every match.
So you were pronosticating.
Yes, that
word.
Predicting.
Yeah.
I only got two wrong. But one of them was the one I really didn't want to get wrong. Which was
it the Charlotte Flair match?
No, I figured Rhea Ripley would win that one. Cody Rhodes, who right now is my favorite wrestler, just about my favorite wrestler. That dude is awesome, right? And versus Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight title. So he's got two belts, right? And I thought it was going to be finally the time where this whole island of relevancy thing that they got going on between the they're related, the Usos and Roman.
Well, yeah, they're all like either really or made up.
They're all like legit. They're all.
Well, I know, but there's been some like there's
the,
some
like The Rock is related to them somehow, and you know it's just a whole big thing. But I thought finally they were all going to lose their titles because the Usos lost their titles the night before on Saturday night, which I thought was great because they had been like for years. So Roman's up to like 900 and something days as the champion of both these belts, right? Hardly wrestles, only wrestles in like big events. Shows up, runs his mouth. He's fantastic, right? Hell of an athlete. I think his future is in acting. I thought this was going to be the end of it. He was going to lose. Cody would get the titles. He would be the righteous guy that he is and separate them and hold the main one. And they do like a tournament for the Universal or whatever. You know, and it ended up being one of those at the end of the match. They beat the hell out of each other for like an hour, right? And then at the end of the match, the ref gets taken out kind of thing, you know. And
there's a smosh.
And then, then his boys come in, and it was just a freaking disaster. And then the next night on Raw, they were going to do a tag team. And it was Roman.
Of course they're going to do a tag team.
It was Roman and I think Sokoa, which is the other brother of the Usos, and against Cody and, gosh, who was it? The Beast Incarnate come out there. And Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
And Lesnar, who has been a good guy.
Oh, did he turn heel?
Wears a cowboy hat, and he's, you know, he's a good guy. And I just
wish he'd cut that stupid ponytail thing. Right?
So he comes out there with, and he's like, yeah, I'll go with Cody. And at the end of the thing, I went to sleep. I was like, oh, I got to go to bed. So I watched the like highlights from the next day. Cody's out there about to start the fight. Here comes Brock, F5s him, boom. And then all of them beat the shit out of Cody. And I'm like, dang it, you turned heel again. And I thought that Cody Rhodes, I thought it was righteously time for him to get what his dad couldn't. And I thought it was time because he, no joke, tore his bicep.
Oh, it was nasty.
And then fought in the freaking Hell in the Cell match with his bicep jacked up before they healed it or before they repaired
it. Yeah, because he'd done it like the day before.
Yeah, and he went ahead and did it anyway. I mean, you know, and the guy's jamming a freaking kendo stick into that bruised area. I'm like, Jesus, man.
It's like, I hate you right now.
And I'm like, how in the world does, you know, Triple H, who's running the show, and of course Vince McMahon just sold the whole company to the parent company of UFC. But why give the guy a shot, man, like a real legitimate shot here. I mean, where's this going? My prediction is, though, I think SummerSlam will put Roman over 1,000 days.
And he'll lose it there.
And he'll lose it there. That's what I think will happen.
I don't know. I'm not kept up with wrestling.
It's getting better now. Because at post-COVID and all that kind of stuff, they're rehiring some of the people they cut. And they've got some good talent back.
But Vince was known, he was notorious for doing wacky things that made no sense.
Yep.
I didn't know if Hunter would continue that or try to fix some things. Because, like, with NXT, everybody, because, like, Cosplay Cody and Die Hard Derek, shout out to those guys because they're my wrestling buddies. They keep up with all that stuff. And they're like, NXT is just, you know, with Triple H was just amazing. And, you know, they kind of squandered some of that.
Well, all those NXT people are now on the main roster.
But I don't know.
I'm a big fan of Cody Rhodes. I'm hoping he'll get his shot. He's really cool. I like how he presents himself. When he's not wrestling, he comes out in a three-piece suit all the time. He's very professional. He greets every fan that he possibly can.
Well, now he got that from his dad. But yeah. Now, as far as the three-piece, I don't know where the three-piece suit came because Dusty Rhodes was
He'll come out and he's got that tattoo on his neck and up the side of his face of his emblem, which is cool, the American Nightmare emblem on there. But then he has Dream on his chest.
Yeah,
for his dad. And which is really cool. And of course, he doesn't talk like his dad, obviously. But
it'd be cool if he come out, though, and talking like a dad. Some yellow polka dots and come out talking like the American Dream got the role. They're going to be on him like a monkey with you.
He always takes his weight belt off and gives it to a kid, which is so freaking cool. And but... You know, that was the worst part of it. But another funny part of it was, and I guess you didn't get to see it, but Shane O'Mac comes back out. All right. I hadn't seen Shane McMahon in forever. So he comes out
he kind of parted ways with the family there.
So, you know, he's doing his little running in place thing. Yeah. And money, you know, thing. And he runs down there. Yeah. And he's going to, it's because Snoop Dogg is co-hosting it with The Miz.
Well, doesn't he, like, beat up the, beat up The Miz?
He did this
Snoop
time.
Snoop Dogg is like the size of this microphone stand. Yeah,
he did this time because, and it was great because Snoop just rolled with it, because what was happening is both nights Snoop set up a fight for The Miz, and Miz is wearing a suit, so he gets a hell beat out of him. And that's another thing. I think The Miz is a great athlete. I keep they constantly just make him look like an idiot, which he's a team player, clearly. But anyway, Shane O'Mac comes out, and he's going to whoop up on The Miz. So, you know, they're bouncing off the ropes, right?
Yeah.
Well, Miz comes in to try to spear him, and he jumps over him. Okay.
Okay.
Shane McMahon, I'm pretty sure, is older than us. I'm not real sure. But he, like, does the splits over him, tears his quad, and just tries to get up and falls over and is just laying there and freaking, but like, legit tore his freaking quad. And he's laying there.
That's not as bad as his dad sliding in the ring and tearing both.
Yeah. He's like, his dude's laying there in pain. They move the camera away from him. And The Miz is just kind of bouncing around like, oh God, where do we go from here? And freaking Snoop stands around, looks at him, and just kicks him. And then does the people's elbow on him, which is like the worst people's elbow in the history of wrestling. But it was really cool. Because I was like, are you kidding me?
Sometimes you got audible.
Yeah, and you know, my blood all over the ring. They did a Hell in the Cell with the Rated R Superstar there, and Finn Balor as the Demon. And Finn caught a freaking ladder to the face and cut him open, like busted split him. His forehead open. Blood was everywhere. So they had to kind of hold off for a second, and I think they glued it shut and they finished the match, but there was straight up blood everywhere. I don't think he guarded that hit really good because his head snapped back and blood was just boosh.
It's one of those, he missed it.
It's like, oh God. So it was actually a really good event. I enjoyed it, but
I just hadn't got back into wrestling. I've gone to some house shows with, you know, like Cody and Derek. We've gone, and it was, oh gosh, what was it? It was a, I can't remember if it was Raw or SmackDown.
That we all went to?
Yeah.
That was SmackDown.
Was it SmackDown?
Yeah. I got tickets for the next SmackDown, too.
I just remember it was really, really quiet in there, and then watched the playback, and it's like, man, there's all this noise. And I was like,
they feed some noise into it,
just a little bit. Because, you know, when I've got people saying, yeah, I heard you all were going, shut up and wrestle, you know. I was so excited because I was hoping that it would make it to the show, and it didn't. So I was really disappointed in that. So thanks, WWF.
I got tickets for for us to go to the next SmackDown. So hopefully it'll be good.
I don't know.
But anyway. But,
I'm on vacation this week, so I got some stuff to do. So I'm going to try to get caught up on that. May sit down and watch Andor. I don't know. I haven't seen that yet.
You really should, dude.
I know you're always ranting and raving about that
one. It's so good.
Get that.
It's really good.
Get that on the list.
If you like the world building thing, and I know you do, you'll love that. It's really good. I was a big fan, so you should probably. I'm telling you, you got to watch it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Then we can do like a talk about it, and it'll be our weekly Star Wars talk. So,
honestly, guys, this is not a Star Wars show. It's just
It's just kind of the thing that hits. So, but anyway, So, last thing, I'm going to Cleveland, Tennessee tomorrow to play in a little Star Wars Legion tournament.
Hey, look at you.
Yep.
That's why he's painting all this stuff, because he's
my other guy. I mean, I got my remnant list over here that I'm going to take, but we're carpooling, so Mr. Will and Nathan are going to be with me, and so is Landon, and we're all going to come to find out that Landon lives like close to me, and so we're all going to meet here, and I'm just going to drive us all down there together, and it's going to be a Knoxville invasion. Because I think there's 6 Knoxville area folks going down there to play. So
y'all need like flags. Like, yeah.
Well, we got T-shirts that Will had made. It's a Volunteer Legion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has the Tennessee TriStar.
Yeah.
But instead of stars, they're the crit emblem from the dice.
Ah.
Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. Okay. We'll come up with a really neat one. And I know he listens to the show, so Will, that was pretty awesome. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah. So it'll be a good time. Well, maybe in theory.
Folks will at least have a Star Wars Legion. Yeah, we'll have
some kind of story. So, but we got some exciting things coming up. Going to some places. Going to do some things coming up here this con season. So we're excited about that. So
stay tuned.
Yeah. Continue to support us and share everything that we do with all your buddies and your family members and tell them it's
love
really cool
you more
thing.
Than bacon.
So, is that really accurate? Bacon's pretty awesome.
That's.
But our fans are better than bacon.
Yeah, we love them more than bacon.
Yep. That's true. So, oh yeah, hey. Sorry I didn't recognize you all at the mall. Wes got onto me. I've never seen you without your Batman cowl.
So to Adam,
yeah.
I still got to get used to this. It's Knoxville Dark Knight now.
Yeah.
He moved from Nashville, so we've laid claim to him.
Yeah, so didn't see you. Sorry.
He's just stuck up, and he don't like waving people at him.
I'm really stuck up. That's true. Yeah. Anybody knows, hey, that guy's an elitist. I didn't even mean to hit that one. So, all right,
let's
get out of
pushing buttons.
Let's get out of here before any more buttons. All right. This is the old bald man Chad with Redneck Wes.
Yo.
's God Blood.
Came up for Rogot's belly. He parried, elbowed Garagot in the teeth, then slammed him into a tree. Through the tree, and out the other side, and into the dirt. Splinters fell all around, and the severed tree came falling, crushing a giant mushroom to the earth. Garagot kicked Rogot, and he went soaring, flipped backwards and crashed down 20 paces away. The Mushroom King was up and after him. Rogot grabbed his axe, pulling up a handful of leaves with it, and leapt to his feet. Their weapons collided, and they were at it again, snarling, hacking, shoving, and punching, god blood thumping in their veins. Garagot thrusted the flat side of his blade hard against Rogot's axe, pressed him back, then shoved a crust-covered finger deep into Rogot's ear.